Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom everyone. This is Evangelist August Mandado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the Rapture of the Church. Well, folks, it's great to be here with you on another Saturday afternoon. And we are coming to you live from Westport, Massachusetts. I'm at my daughter's house here with all of my grandkids. So you might hear a little bit of noise in the background there, but there's really nothing like spending time with your family. But we wanted to get to this radio program today. We're going to be with you for the next 45 minutes as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And my name is August Mazzotto. If you are a first-time listener to the broadcast, we come to you every Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And what we do is we take a current news story, and I give my prophetic perspective on that news story in light of biblical prophecy to show how close we may be to the soon return of the Lord Jesus at the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the Rapture of the Church. So we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning into the show today. If you want to get to know us better, then you can visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. And while you are there, you could sign up for our weekly email newsletter. They go out every single week, and they are free. So that way you would be able to keep up with us and see what's going on here in the ministry, see if we'll be at a near you. And, of course, also next Saturday, we are going to be making preparations to be heading off to Rome. Dr. Todd Baker and myself will be heading to Rome, and we will be there for 10 days. As you well know, Dr. Baker and I, we travel to Israel twice a year, and this is going to be the first time that him and I are going to Rome. He's never been there. I've never been there, so this will be a first time for us, and we will be teaching Bible prophecy on location in Rome. So that's what we're going to be doing there, and also we're going to be doing some evangelizing. While we are out there, we're going to be passing out some Bibles and sharing the gospel with precious Italians out there, as we do in Israel with the Jewish and Arab people, and they are precious in God's sight as well. And so we are really looking forward to seeing what God is going to be doing in Rome. So I'll be doing a radio show Saturday from Lincoln, Rhode Island, our headquarters, and then Sunday we'll be making the preparations to leave for Rome. So I would ask folks that you would pray for Dr. Baker and myself as we will be traveling to Rome. Also, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit of God to help us with the finances and the cost of this trip, then you can visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, use the PayPal link there, or you can go to paypal.com. When you go to the paypal.com website, punch in our email address, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. That's august.todayinbibleprophecy. That's all one word. august.todayinbibleprophecy, prophecy spelled with a C, @gmail.com. And then you could put the amount that you feel led to put there to help us with this cost. We're not going to rent any cars while we're out there in Rome. We're just going to take a cab out there. I hear, you know, trying to drive in Rome is crazy. So we're going to be using cab fare while we're out there, and that will take us to where we need to go. So we really not only covet your prayers, first and foremost. Folks, we need you praying for Dr. Baker and myself, but also if you can help us out financially, that would really, really be a blessing. And so I want to thank each and every one of you who are closely associated with our ministry. Others I can just mention by name individually who have supported us with a gracious financial contributions. And we really appreciate you. We can mention you right now on a first name basis, but you know who you are. We love you. We really appreciate you. And we just thank you so much for that. But if you feel led by God to help us financially with this support, then again, go to paypal.com, type in my email address, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Put any amount you want in there, from $5 to $25 to $50 to $100 to $500, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. We would really, really appreciate it. And you will have a hand in helping us share the good news of the gospel of Jesus the Messiah right there in Rome. And as you well know, folks, Rome will also play a major role in Bible prophecy. And I cannot wait to do the video teaching out there, the video presentations out there. We're going to bring it back to you. We're going to be uploading those on YouTube. And so I hope that you would take an opportunity to take a look at that. And also we'll be having a newsletter, putting it on Facebook. And so hopefully you'll be able to catch up on that. But again, thank you so much for tuning in to the program today. Also, we have a Bible prophecy tour leading for Israel. That's going to be September 5th through the 15th. September 5th through the 15th. That will be Israel and Petra in southern Jordan. Israel and Petra in southern Jordan. I will be teaching Bible prophecy on location in the Holy Land and just over the border in the south at Petra in Jordan. If you would like to join us on this Bible prophecy tour of the Holy Land, then you could, again, send me that email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. That's my personal email address. I will respond to you. If you would like a call back, leave me your phone number and we'll give you a call back. If you are ready to go, and we got people signing up, folks, and we're only looking to take between 15 and 20 people. Between 15 and 20 people on this tour. We want to make it small and personal for everybody. Enjoy the fellowship, get to do more, get to see more with a smaller group. If you are ready to go, call our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel, or Israel Trips LLC. They go by two different names. Ask for my friend, Eyal Evan. He is taking care of everything. Eyal Evan. His name is spelled E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-V-A-N, Eyal Evan. Their toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. That's 1-888-300-3038. Let Eyal know that you want to join August Rosado on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel, September 5th through the 15th. It's going to be 11 days in the Holy Land. And we are really looking forward to having a wonderful time out there in the land of Israel. If we get raptured in Israel, it's only going to be a domestic flight for us. So I hope that you would make those arrangements. Right now, we're, 5.5 months away from that. So make those arrangements to come to Israel, the land of the Bible, and let the Bible come alive to you like never before. And when it's all said and done, folks, you'll never read your Bible the same way again. Also, if you are interested in wanting my wife and I to come to your church for a Bible prophecy conference, then again, you could send me an email at the email address that I gave you, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Let us know that you would be interested, whether it's a one-day or a multi-day conference. And we would love to come to your church and preach on Israel, Bible prophecy, current events, and how close we may be to the rapture of the church. Don't forget, folks, we have a lot of Holy Land items that are available in our bookstore. We haven't had all of them uploaded onto the website yet, but if you get my newsletter, then you can order it right off of our newsletter, a lot of Holy Land gifts that we brought back from Israel so that you can take a piece of Israel back home with you. Follow me on the social networks. Follow me on Facebook. Send me a Facebook friend request, August Rosado. Or follow me on Twitter, Bible_prophecy, or simply August Rosado. And on LinkedIn, Evangelist August Rosado. Now, folks, what I want to do right now is get to the news story of the day. What I want to talk about is last day's hatred of God's word. Why do the nations of the world not only hate God, but they also hate the Son of God and the Word of God? Last day's hatred of the Bible. And I want to read one passage here out of Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 12, where it says, "Blessed is the nation, God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." So the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And another passage I'm reminded of is in Proverbs 14:34, where it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In other words, sin is a shame or a disgrace to many people. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God blesses a nation who collectively puts their trust in the God of Israel. God blesses that nation. Or righteousness exalteth a nation, as Proverbs says, a nation that lives righteously, a nation that has the fear of God. And folks, unfortunately, I don't know of one nation today that is living righteously, or a nation today who makes God the very center of that very nation. You know, I'm reminded of the prophecy in Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. That would be God the Father. And against his Son. That would be the Lord Jesus. Against his anointed. The word anointed is the Hebrew word Mashiach, where we get the English word Messiah. So the nations rage against God the Father and against his Mashiach, against his Son, the Lord Jesus, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We don't want nothing to do with God. We don't want nothing to do with his Son. We don't want nothing to do with his word. God's response to all that is in Psalm chapter 2, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Bible says that God will one day laugh at the calamity of nations who hate him, nations who want nothing to do with him, nations who want nothing to do with his Son, nations who want nothing to do with God's holy word, the Bible. And folks, unfortunately, that describes the United States of America. The Bible is indeed God's holy living word. God used 40 men over a 1,500-year period of time to pen down what we have as the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. I've been saved almost 28 years. I've been studying the Bible for 28 years. I've been reading the Bible for 28 years. I've memorized quite a portion of this book. I'm not saying I've memorized it from cover to cover, but I've memorized quite a few passages from this book. Does that make me an expert? Absolutely not. It makes me a student of God's word because I'm always learning something new every single day. but I do watch out for false doctrine. I do watch out for false prophets, and they're everywhere today. They're outside the church, and unfortunately, you have many of them within the church today. God used 40 men over a 1,500-year period of time to depend on what we have today as the Word of God. The Scriptures alone are the inspired Word of God. That's where we get the Greek word theos neustos, which just simply means God breathed. The men were not inspired, and I hear this a lot, you know, from college, Bible college professors, the men were inspired. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the words of Scripture, all men were inspired to write the inspired. No, it says all Scripture is inspired by the Word of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the words themselves are inspired. Jesus said every jot and every tittle would not pass from the law. Where it talks about the jot, that would be the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It looks like chicken scratch. They call that the yod. Every jot or every yod and every tittle, that would be the beginning of a mark to form a Hebrew letter. You know, like one mark and then you'd actually form the letter. That is how cohesive the Word of God is. And the Lord Jesus recognized the Scriptures as coming from God. It says not one jot or tittle. Now, folks, these 40 men were moved, not inspired, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of the living God. That's 2 Peter 1:21. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. In other words, the Bible does not originate from human beings. For the Bible or the Scriptures or the prophecy did not come by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were not inspired, but as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write the inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of the living God. It's interesting that that Greek word for move in 2 Peter 1:21 is pheromenoi. It means that they were carried by the Holy Spirit. They were influenced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them to write the inspired Word of God. So these 40 men were carried by and influenced by the Holy Ghost to write the Scripture. Now, what's interesting is that if you were to use a Google search engine and type in Bible, B-I-B-L-E, type in Bible, you will get 409 million results. That's amazing. 409 million results from a Google search engine. If you were to type the Quran, so-called sacred book of the Muslims, if you were to type in the Quran, you would only get 35,300,000 results. But type in Bible, and folks, you get 409 million hits. Why? The Bible is a very, very influential book. It's the living, true Word of God. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, with over 5 billion, with a B, 5 billion Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It's God's holy word given to govern man and govern nation. And that's exactly what Psalm 33 in verse number 12 says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. For Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. Without God's word, we have a breakdown, folks, of morals. And unfortunately, that is the theme today of the United States of America. We have a society in America today with a breakdown of morals. You know, the current president of the United States says America is not a Christian nation. I believe it's far from being a Christian nation today, but it was founded on Christian principles, on biblical principles. So the president of the United States is wrong when he says that America never was a Christian nation. I want you to listen to the quotes of our founding fathers concerning the Bible. John Quincy Adams, who was the sixth president of the United States, said this, "The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the scriptures." That's what Jesus said in John 5:39. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." The scriptures testify of Jesus. So President John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, hit it right on the nose. Andrew Jackson, the seventh president of the United States, said this about the Bible: "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, said this: "In regard for this great book, I have this to say: it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book." Ulysses S. Grant, the 18th president of the United States, said this about the Bible: "Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberty. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your life. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for all of the progress made in true civilization. And to this we must look as our guide in the future." And this is what he says, folks: "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." He quoted Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, the text that I use for this program. Benjamin Harrison, 23rd president of the United States, said this about the Bible: "If you take out of your statutes, your constitution, your family life, all that is taken from the sacred book, what would there be left to bind society together?" Wow. Powerful statement from the 23rd president of the United States, Benjamin Harrison. That's the reason why America, folks, is falling apart, because we took God out and we took the Bible out of society. Woodrow Wilson, 28th president of the United States, said this about the Bible: "The Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God, and spiritual nature and needs of men. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation. America was born a Christian nation." There you go, President Obama. According to Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president of the United States, America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness, which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture. Wow. Calvin Coolidge, 30th president of the United States, said this about the Bible: "The strength of our country is the strength of its religious conviction. The foundation of our society and our government rests so much on the teachings of the Bible that it will be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Franklin Roosevelt, 32nd president of the United States, said this about the Bible: "We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place of the Bible occupied in the shaping the advances of the Republic. Where we have been the truest and most consistent in obeying its precepts, we have attained the greatest measure of contentment and prosperity. Harry Truman, 33rd President of the United States, said this about the Bible. The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount, talking about Sinai. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in rights for anybody except the state. Mr. Harry Truman, your words have fallen on deaf ears, and that's exactly where America is today. We have a totalitarian government which no longer believes in the rights for anybody except the state. Government is bigger than the people, and the government was not intended to be this way. But because we took the Bible out of American society, out of government, this is where we are today. Harry Truman, the 33rd President of the United States, hit it right on the head. Finally, Ronald Reagan, 40th President of the United States, said this about the Bible. Inside the Bible's pages lie all the answers to all of the problems man has ever known. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, and refresh our souls. Wow. Ronald Reagan, 40th President of the United States. Folks, the Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse number 89, tells us that God's word comes directly from the Almighty himself. It's a divine holy book. It's a living book that contains 33% of prophecy. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The scriptures come directly from the mind of God. They come directly from the heart of God. It's God's love letter to humanity. And unfortunately, humanity today is ignoring. It's 33% of the Bible. It's one-fourth of the word of God. From the book of Daniel all the way to the book of Revelation, you have 40 books from Daniel through to Revelation. You have 40 books that contain 33% of Bible prophecy. You have 400 of the 1,189 chapters, ladies and gentlemen, that deal with Bible prophecy. That is a lot of Bible prophecy. And it's unfortunate that the church today, by and large, is ignoring 33% of Bible prophecy, ignoring 400 of the 1,189 chapters that deal with Bible prophecy. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, it tells us that God has preserved his word from generation to generation. And again, I want to read out of Psalm chapter 12 because I really love this passage right here. In Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." You know, when you throw gold or silver in fire, it purifies that. It doesn't consume it, it purifies it. If you were to throw, you know, wood, hay, or stubble, it consumes in the fire, but gold and silver is purified in the fire. Verse 7 says this, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from generation forever," from every generation to ever. And God has preserved his word from generation to generation. Listen, man doesn't know what he's doing, but God knows what he is doing. Unfortunately, America refuses to be governed by God's holy word, which is why, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the moral mess that we are in today. A breakdown of morals in American society. America has drowned herself in a cesspool of immorality, a cesspool of wickedness, a cesspool of ungodliness. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked shall return into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I don't find one specific reference to America in Bible prophecy, but I can throw America in that prophecy right there because she is a part of all nations. It's a general prophecy. The Bible says in Psalm 9:20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, does not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, recently, Tennessee's Governor Bill Haslam vetoed a bill that would have made the Bible the state's official book. I mean, this bill went through that legislation and this legislation, through this house and that house, finally on the desk of the governor. And what did he do? Right in the heart of the Bible Belt, which is going to be losing that, you know, stigmata from the Bible Belt, you know, he vetoed that bill. And this is his reason for vetoing that bill. He said in his veto message, the bill, quote unquote, trivializes the Bible, which I believe is a sacred text. Wait a minute. The reason why Governor Haslam, you vetoed this bill that would have made the Bible is because the Bible is trivial. The Bible is, in other words, the Bible is not that important. To you, you say it's a sacred text, but it's not trivial. It's not that important. Listen, I love the Bible. I believe it is the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. So to me, it is not trivial. So for you to say that you believe the Bible to be a sacred text, but yet it's trivial, what you are doing is you are double talking. You're saying one thing, but you're doing another. If the Bible is a sacred text, it should not be trivial to you. The Bible is perspicuous, ladies and gentlemen. It gives a clear representation of history and doctrine. It is not trivial. So for the governor of Tennessee to say it is trivial just goes to show to him the Bible is nothing more than a mundane, unimportant, I mean, I find that to be a crying shame. But one day, man will be judged based on the authority of God's holy word. For the believer, it's the judgment seat of Christ out of 2 Corinthians 5:10. For the unbeliever, the unregenerate, it will be the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The Bible itself warns against tampering with the authority of God's holy word. The cults have done this. They've tampered with God's holy word, or they undermine God's holy word. The Bible says in Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19, for I testify unto every man that readeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book, that any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the book of life, from the tree of life, and from the holy city. For those who have tampered with the word of God show that they are not true, genuine believers. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32 tells us, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee or rebuke thee, and thou be found a liar. Those who tamper with the word of God, those who add or take away from the word of God, according to the Bible, are nothing but liars. Folks, in the last days, prior to the rapture of the church, many today are tampering with the Bible to trivialize God's word and to trivialize the person of Jesus the Messiah himself. Those in cults who don't believe Jesus is God in the flesh, creator of heaven and earth, all the cults are denying that today, or they're downplaying the person of the Lord Jesus. Coming back to this earth at the end of the tribulation period, the Bible describes Jesus the Messiah as the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not was a God, as the cult Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching, but is God. The Word was God. God in the flesh. When Jesus comes back to this earth at his second coming, Revelation 19:13 says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, the revealed Word of God in the flesh. A man who existed, a Jewish rabbi, 2,000 years ago, who existed with a hypostatic union of both God and man without sin. Jesus will come back to judge this world in righteousness and crush all wickedness in disbelief. And folks, that's Psalm 96 and verse number 13, where it says, For he cometh to judge the earth. He will judge the world. Revelation 14:20 tells us that, says that Jesus will crush the nations like grapes in a wine vat, and the blood will flow as high as a horse's bridle for the space of 1,600 furlongs. 1,600 furlongs is exactly 176 miles. From the Jezreel Valley in northern Israel, Armageddon, Revelation 16:16. We take our tour groups there all the time. You can see this place for yourself. Come with us in September. I'll show you that place. I'll take you there. From the Jezreel Valley or Armageddon in the north of Israel all the way to the entrance of Petra in southern Jordan, where we're also going to be going, is exactly 176 miles. The blood will flow as high as the horse's bridles, between 4.5 and 5 feet. Jesus Christ will walk 176 miles through a valley of blood. That's why Isaiah 53 says that his garments are stained. And yet Revelation tells us that he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Why? He will crush the nations, symbolic of the grapes in a wine vat, will crush, and that blood will flow for 176 miles. Jesus will one day reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every person will be judged on the authority of his holy word. With the nations today, including the United States of America, becoming more hostile to the Bible and biblical Christianity, is showing us, folks, that the rapture of the church is indeed so close at hand. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm here to tell you today, it's not too late. The rapture hasn't taken place yet. You know, any atheist can continue to deny the existence of God, but you know something? You're going to die one day. You will die one day. That is a given. you will die one day, and you better be right, which I don't think you are, but you better be right. Because if you die without the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you have everything to lose and nothing to gain. But if I'm right, and I do believe I am, based on the authority of God's Word, the Bible, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sins, shed his precious blood for us, was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. God has a free gift to you. It's the gift of eternal life. You don't have to work for it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. But God freely given it to you. It's a free gift, already been paid for by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus on the cross at Calvary. It's like a gift certificate. If I gave you a $100 gift certificate to Red Lobster, you take that gift certificate, you take a friend with you, and you go to Red Lobster, you order $100 worth of food. You say to yourself, wow, free food. But really, it isn't free. Somebody went ahead to pay for that gift certificate in order for you to have it for free and to reap the benefits of that gift certificate. Eternal life is free, but really it isn't free because somebody went ahead to pay for that gift of eternal life. And that is when Jesus paid the penalty, took the suffering that you and I rightly deserve when he shed his blood for your sins and my sins. Jesus Christ paid a penalty he did not owe because you and I have a penalty we could not pay. He paid it for us. Now we reap the benefit of eternal life, escaping the flames of a Christless hell in a lake of fire. But all you simply have to do to receive that free gift is pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. You died on the cross for my sins. You shed your precious blood for me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today. I change my attitude. I change my heart about you. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. And I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Change my life today, Lord Jesus. Change my heart. And I receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. In your precious name I pray, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, man, I do want to hear from you. Send me an email, august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. Let me know that you prayed that prayer. Maybe you're watching this video on YouTube. Send me a message. Let me know. Say, August, I prayed that prayer. I trusted in the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I want to help you grow with the grace of God, send you some information in the mail, get you into a good local Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. And don't forget, folks, visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for our newsletters. Ask questions about our upcoming Bible prophecy tour to Israel, September 5th through the 15th. We'd love to have you join us in Israel to see where Bible prophecy is going to be fulfilled in the not-too-distant future. Folks, we are indeed living in some really exciting times. Prophecy is unfolding right before our very question is he coming to you? You can trust in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior today. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to change your life right now, right here, right now, and give you the free gift of eternal life. And be ready for the next prophetic event we call the rapture of the church. Until next week, this is August Rosado, folks, today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. Hey, keep looking up. Jesus is indeed coming.